Jesus come. Amen. Well, I'm certainly grateful for the good singing that exalts our Lord. Amen. There's a lot of so-called singing that goes on that's not glorifying to the Lord. But I'm grateful for good songs. Amen. And I appreciate for those who are willing to give their testimony in song. Yeah. And that's wonderful. I just met Brother Mike Phillips. Is it great grandson? Praise God. I'm glad you're here. I was thinking of Brother Mike. Last time I talked to him, in fact, the last several times we talked, he was filling in over in Alabama. And he kept saying, I want you to come. That's one of the last conversations. I said, I want you to come and preach for us there. But we never did get anything lined up. And then the Lord graduated Brother Max. But I'm glad his great-grandson's here this morning. That is wonderful. I want to just chat with you a minute before I read scriptures. I'm one of those fellows, I guess, that's torn in a different direction, several different directions on the message. But I think I know what God wants me to share this morning. Now, all through the week, we've been gearing the preaching basically to our personal responsibility of evangelism. And we've been reminded that if we do not work about building, and I use that word reservedly, but building the home base, right. if we don't reach others, right. if we do not get some more involved in, right, helping us get the gospel around the world, right, then we not only fail here and fail there. And so I believe that Brother Olof used to say, and I've said this so many times, he said, anytime in a Baptist church you start talking about money, folks get cirrhosis of the giver. That's that nerve that runs around the billfold there. But it takes money to operate a local church. And it takes money to get missionaries to the foreign field. And so there's a lot of folks that will give to get missionaries to the field, but they're not going. And then there's folks that are going, but not giving. And so the two work together. There has to be a balance. Amen. And so I want to just give you a starting verse, and then I'll illustrate what the starting verse is talking about. In the book of Ephesians chapter 5, Paul is writing to the believers at Ephesus. And he said, and be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, that's vitally important. Now, it is God's will for everybody to be saved. It is God's will for those who are saved to be baptized. It is God's will for those who are saved and baptized to be a member of a Bible-believing church. Amen. It is God's will for those who are saved, baptized, and members to be faithful in their place. Amen. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, special meetings, and I'm preaching to the choir. Now, I'm thankful for your faithfulness. But if we think about this, in the past year, Pastor has shared with us that your commitment was 14,500. Is that correct? And that's a good commitment. Now, I preach in churches that are smaller than this church has been in attendance. I've got a church in White Pine, Tennessee, which is about 30 or 40 minutes from my house. I'm in Kodak, and he's in White Pine. And he's probably in, Brother Tommy's probably in his mid-60s or early 70s. And he's been there for years and years and years. Got just a little block building. And so I'll go there, Brother Ernest, and sometimes I go there. And in Sunday school, they might have three. I mean, that's total. And sometimes they might have six. And if they had nine, well, they had a big day. Yeah. But he has been faithful. He's been consistent. And so I'm going back. I always preach on Mother's Day. I always been preaching on Mother's Day morning. I preach on Mother's Day morning. And then I preach a meeting in October. First week of October, I'll go And he said, now, I want you to make sure, just mark it down until Jesus comes. I want you to come. And so he's not winning a lot of people, but he's doing what God says to do. He's going to the jail, preaching in the jail, as long as he's able to do that. But what I'm trying to say is God has a will for your life. And so we need to find the will of God and fulfill the will of God. So how do I know the will of God? We can't know the will of God apart from the Word of God. God speaks to us through His Word. It is that tugging on the inside that God shows us that this is direction. This is a place. This is where I want you to minister. Now I want to illustrate what I'm trying to say this morning from the book of Ruth. Just a little book of Ruth. And if you'll turn with me, please, to Luke. Ruth chapter number 2. Ruth chapter number 22. I'm just going to read a couple of verses. And this is an account of, and chapter 1, it's a story of Elimelech, Naomi, and their two boys. They left Bethlehem, Judah, because there was a famine in the land. And could I say, I personally believe they left out of the will of God. And so they left Bethlehem, Judah, the house of praise and the house of blessing. They left Bethlehem, Judah. And by the way, there's a lot of folks that's done that. They've left Bethlehem, Judah, and they moved to the far country, to Moab. Moab is always a type of the world. And so they did not go to stay. They went to sojourn. But they ended up staying 10 years in Moab. And by the way, Moab is God's wash pot. And I say to you, they're out of the will of God. Now, while they're down in Moab, they're out of the will of God. While they're down in Moab, Elimelech dies. They had two boys, Mahlon and Chilion. And those two boys married out of the will of God. It was not the will of God for them to marry Moabites. And so the name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And in back in chapter number 1, I find that in verse number 6, the Bible said, then she arose with her daughters-in-law that they might return from the country of Moab. And by the way, that's the will of God too. It's the will of God. If you end up in Moab, it's God's will for you to be back in Bethlehem, Judah. If you got out of church, it's right for you to get back in church. If you haven't been tithing, it is God's will for you to start tithing. And if you haven't been given to missions, it's God's will. I say dogmatically, that is God's will. But now notice, the Bible said, verse 6 of chapter 1, and then she arose with her daughter-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. Can I say, somebody was a good missionary. They're echoing the message that God's been blessing the people down in Bethlehem, Judah. And so God, hey, there's something in the heart of Naomi that wants to go home. I tell you, when you get saved by the grace of God, you're placed into the family of God. And God puts a want to in your heart to be with God's people. Now then, and so much I could preach. I love the book of Ruth, do you? I really do. Chapter 2, here's the verses I wanted to read. Notice in verse number 21 of chapter number 2. The Bible said, and Ruth the Moabite said, he said, speaking of Boaz, Boaz's a type of Christ. She's met Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go not with go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. And could I say in verse 23, so she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Now, I'm looking particularly at verse 22, and the phrase where Naomi is saying to Ruth, it is good for, it, it is, uh, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out, with his maidens, that they meet thee not in another field. And so I want to preach a little while this morning on stay in the field. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Praise God. I'm telling you, there's people who are changing horses and they're changing direction. They're changing Bibles and they're changing their conviction. But I say, God help us to stay in the field. Let us pray. Lord, bless, I pray, the reading of your word and accomplish your purpose today. Thank you for these that have come. And I pray that you might meet our needs in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As a Christian, there's probably nothing more important than understanding the will of God. I have folks that said, well, God led me in my home church. We've had an exodus where we've had over 30 people that's left our church. There was a couple that had to be dealt with, or a man particularly had to be dealt with church discipline because of his practice of immorality. I still believe in church discipline. And I Pastor dealt with it properly. He dealt with it biblically. But here's people who gyrated and came together and followed him to another church. Now, the church they went to thinks they've had revival.
Oh, yeah.
But there's that old dog's going to bite real big down the road. That won't work. If it's not right here, it won't be right over there. Amen. So I'm saying, as a Christian, it's probably nothing more important than understanding the will of God and the undertaking of the will of God. Finding the will of God and following the will of God is essential, it's expedient, and it is an exciting part of being saved. Now, I'm saved by the grace of God. And let's see, in 8 days from today, I'll be marked my 61st birthday.
Amen.
As a child of the King. Amen.
Amen.
I'm saying I'm grateful, and it's holding good too. I'm reminding you, I'm not hoping I'm saved. I know I'm saved.
Amen.
And I'm thankful for God's will in my life. You can't do the will of God unless you know the will of God. But now, George W. Truett said, to know the will of God is the greatest knowledge. To find God's will is the greatest discovery. And to do God's will is the greatest achievement.
Yes, sir.
And so I'm saying to you, it's important that you stay in the field. As Ralph Sexton Sr. would say, bloom where you are planted. It is this. Miriam Booth, the daughter of William Booth, founder of the Salvation Army, was a brilliant and cultured young woman who began her Christian work with a great promise and unusual success. And then a disease brought her to the point of death. And a friend told her, said, it seems such a pity that a woman of your capabilities should be hindered by sickness from doing the Lord's work. And here's why she replied. She said, it is wonderful to do God's work, but it is greater still to do God's will.
Amen.
Right. Amen. Mark her down. And it's wonderful to do God's work, but greater still to do God's will. Someone said, out of the will of God, there's no such thing as success. You can't have success out of the will of God as a believer. In the will of God, there's no such thing as failure. In the will of God. A major key to being blessed of God is to be in His will.
Amen.
Now, the Bible said in 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin.
Amen.
And listen, you can't walk in the world and have fellowship with the Lord.
Right.
Amos said, can two walk together except they be agreed? And so you got to be in agreement with Him. You got to walk in alignment with Him. Amen. I'm saying the Lord would not lead you contrary to the Word of God. Now, again, Cecil Rhodes once said, "If there's a God and He cares for men, then the most important thing in the world is to find out what God wants me to do and do it." Now, that'll come to your faith promise. Find out what God wants you to do and do it. Amen. I've had to change my faith promise sometime in a mission conference. I thought I knew what God wanted me to give, and then God changed it. And here's an interesting thought. He never said, back up a little bit. He never said, whoa, you're giving too much. But it was always giving a little bit more. So how do we give? We give by faith. The just shall live by faith. Our Lord said, according to your faith, be it unto thee. And so how does faith come? Romans 10:17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if I want to know God's will about what he wants me to do, I've got to read my Bible. I got to stay in fellowship with him, and God will show me his will. He'll do that in the car you buy, the house you live in. Amen. I'm talking about God's will affects every aspect of our life. And so David Livingston once said, I'd rather be in the heart of Africa in the will of God than to be on the throne of England out of the will of God. And so now listen to what Alan Redpath said. He said, I say without hesitation that if every Christian was submitted to God's will, we would have a continuous revival. I say amen to that. He said the whole tragedy of the church is that Christian men and women born again, redeemed by the blood, indwelt by the Spirit, still raise the big eye and refuse to bend before the Lord. Not my will, but thy will be done. Not what I want, but what he wants. Oh, you said, what about that verse over there in Psalm 84? He said, no good thing will the Lord withhold from them who walk uprightly. And so someone said to Dr. Lakin, he said, I'd really like to drive a Cadillac. And Dr. Lakin said, well, maybe you ought to be walking different. He said, what in the world? He said, the Bible said, no good thing will the Lord withhold from them who walk uprightly. It might not be a Cadillac, but I'm telling you, if you walk uprightly, God honors that. You honor God, and God will honor you. And so here it is. The thing that puts brakes on the Holy Spirit revival, that raises the bar against God's mighty blessings, and the outpoured flood tide of the Holy Spirit's power is Christian men and women who will not submit to the omnipotent will of God for their life. God has a will for our life. As a believer, and believers that refuse the will of God is rejected from the work of God. Our pastor talked about it in the Sunday school hour about how folks meet together. They go through the motions, they put on a performance, and they don't even know God. And could I say, I'm saying, if I want to experience God's work in my life, I must do God's will in my life. I'm willing to do God's will. And so does God want you to be a missionary? Well, certainly he wants you to be a missionary where you are. But does God want you to go to some foreign field? It ought to be the willingness to say, I'm willing to do whatever God wants me to do. And so in the story of Ruth, I'm coming back to Ruth. In the story of Ruth and the passage that we read, there's some lessons we can glean concerning the will of God. And this chapter, Ruth is learning and growing in her Christian experience. She made a great testimony about her submission to God and to Naomi. And in the process, she's confronted about being obedient to Boaz in the blessings of doing so. Being obedient, and Boaz is a type of Christ. And so the blessings came by being obedient. Now, number one, here's the thought. Number one, the will of God is a disclosed place of service. It is a designed place of service. If you'll notice with me, chapter 2, and let's read verse 21 again. The Bible said, and Ruth the Moabite said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my maidens, by my young men, until they have ended all my harvest. Back up to verse number 8. And then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from thence, but abide here fast by my maidens. He's instructing her to stay in the field. And so I want to say to you, stay in the field when it comes to the matter of your church fellowship. And stay in the field in relation to reaching others with the gospel of Christ. Stay in the field when it comes to giving and praying. I'm saying so much we said there. But we see an understanding of the will of God in verse 21. He had spoken his will and he had showed her his will. He's saying, this is what I want you to do. That here it is. Simple. Stay in the field. Don't be trying to glean in another field. Amen. I really don't like folk trying to eat off my plate, do you? I like them to eat off their own plate. But I'm saying, hey, stay in the field. Stay in the place God put you. And continue doing what God told you to do while in that position. How important it is. Ephesians 5:17, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. If God has a will for our lives, and he does, he has a will. You say, well, I only just got back in fellowship with God a month ago. God, thank God for that. That was God's will for you to get back and walk as he walked and talk as he walked and worship him. That's God's will for your life. You said, well, it's not popular. Never has been. Never will be. But it's right to stay in the field. I say, if God has a will of our lives, and he does, then it stands to reason that he wants us to know that. He wants us to know his will. And if he wants us to know his will, then he will show us his will. How important that is. I think after conversion in the life of a believer, the next important thing and great important thing for your life is to find the will of God and fulfill the will of God. The major reason why people do not know the will of God is one, is it has to do with their failure to do what they already know to be the will of God. They're just not doing what God said already. They want to know what God wants them to do over yonder, sometime around the corner, over the next hill. No. We're to serve God today. Do what God said today. Amen. If we occupy, and that is to do business for Christ, if we occupy to his coming, it'll be being in his will, doing what he said in that place. And so we know we're to be faithful to church. We know, and we won't argue the point. We know that we're to tithe our income. And by the way, if you don't tithe your income, you're a God robber. You can't be in God's fellowship and take God's money. And I'm saying this. We know that we are to tithe our income. We know that we're to pray. We know that we're to read our Bible. And yet we're disobedient. In John 7:17, the Bible said, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. And so I'm reminded the key to knowing what God what you don't know is doing what you do know. It's the matter of doing the will of God. If one will not do what has been revealed, they will not do what will be revealed. And so it's this. You can't, God can't guide folks that are sitting still. You don't need any guidance. Steering wheel is of no value at all if there's no motor in the vehicle. If it's not moving, the steering wheel. Hey, I'm saying the will of God is that another reason why people don't understand the will of God is that they want to check it out first, then decide if they want that. Could I say we want to make sure that it fits our plans and our preferences? And I say to you, it does not work that way. You understand the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:31, I die daily. Your problem and my problem is not somebody else, it's us. There's too much of us showing and we're not. And so we die to ourselves. That's why Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Doing the will of God. I heard Sammy Allen reference this years and years ago. Doing the will of God is like taking a blank sheet of paper and signing your name at the bottom and let God fill in the page with what he desires for your life. And so we see that understanding of the will of God, according to verse 23, we see Ruth is understanding what Boaz wanted. And she's undertaking what Boaz has wanted her to do. She was submitted. He said, and she submitted. Boaz orders and Ruth obeys. And so the will of God is not some theological course to ponder, but a personal call to pursue God's direction in your life and mine. And so the will of God is a delightful place. It is a specific place, a design place, but it's a delightful place. What Boaz had asked Ruth was not a burden for her. And by the way, it was a blessing. He said, now don't go gleaning in another field. And Naomi said, it's good that you don't go to another field. It's right. Now, what he has commanded was not something that discouraged her, but delighted both Ruth and Naomi. And so you recognize the will of God is more important than a job. It's not just a job, it's a joy. Amen. Of doing the will of God. Naomi said it's good. What Boaz wanted her to do was good. Nothing any greater could have happened to Ruth than Boaz telling her to stay in the field. Right. Just stay in the field. There's nothing any greater than can happen in our lives than God saying, this is what I want you to do. And so I've known people that regretted not doing the will of God, but I've never met anyone who regretted doing the will of God. And so that's the perfect will of God. In what ways was it good for Ruth to stay in the field that Boaz designed? Boaz said, what was the profit? What ways was it profitable? Could I say it was there was a place that provided all the resources that she needed in the field. The resources of the field was many. In verse number 9, the Bible said, chapter 2, he said, let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. And so there's resources in the field. Verse 15 and 16, there was protection in the field. There's provision in the field. And so the will of God is the greatest place of security and the greatest place of supply one could ever hope to have. And so the will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. And so there are relationships that was built in that field. Ruth came from Bethlehem, Judah. She only knew she was coming back from Moab. She's coming to Bethlehem, Judah. And she only knew one person, and that was Naomi. She just knew Naomi. In the field, she developed a relationship with others. There was a relationship, verse 21, with where the men were and where the maidens was, verse 32, and where her master was. And so in the field, it was where she was near to Boaz. Yeah. Hallelujah. And by the way, that's the reason some folk don't amount to a hill of beans, because they're always jumping from one field to another. God has a designed place, a determined will for your life. And so she was near Boaz. She is close with Boaz, and each day, because she was in the field. And I'm going to tell you, you'll be in close fellowship with your heavenly Boaz if you just stay in the field. Stay where God puts you. Bloom where you're planted. Do what God called you to do. It might not be proper, it might not be appealing to the flesh, but it is right to stay in the field. And so the most delightful part of being in the field, being in the will of God, is the closeness that you enjoy with God. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I'm his own. And the joy we share was carried there, none other has ever known. A person out of the will of God is out of fellowship with God. To follow God is to fellowship with God. John Wesley said this, in a journal. He tells of how he visited the door, a dear woman that was ill and bedridden, and she had buried seven of her family in the 6 months prior to that, and she just heard that her husband was missing at sea. And Wesley said, "Don't you ever fret at any of these things?" And she replied to Wesley with a loving smile on her face, "Oh no, how could I fret at anything which is the will of God? Let him take all besides. He has given me himself. I've learned to love and praise him at every moment." I'm saying that's grace. That's God. Amen. We have in this building ladies that their husbands have graduated to heaven. I can't imagine what it would be like to lose my spouse. I can't imagine that. But I'm going to tell you, the grace of God that saved you is a grace of God that keeps you. And thank you for staying in the field. Amen. Staying in the field. Number three, the will of God is a devoted place of service. Boaz not only wanted Ruth in the field, he wanted her to stay in the field. He wanted her to stay in the field, verse 21 through 23. She was told to stay in the field. How long? Until the end of harvest. How long does God want us to stay in the field? Until the end of harvest. There'll come a day that it'll not be any more harvest. It'll be over. I'm saying, God, help us to stay in the field. Jesus is coming. Our heavenly Boaz is saying to us, stay in the field. Amen. Unity Baptist, stay in the field. Members, stay in the field. Jesus is coming. You said it gets weary. Oh, yes. You said it gets hard. Yes, it does. But it doesn't change the command of our heavenly Boaz. Stay in the field. Notice with me this. I'm about done, I think. Hope you're not done. She was told, stay in the field. We read, she stayed. And so the will of God is a place of devoted service, a devotion that lasts until the end of the harvest. Not until I get my feelings hurt.
Amen. Right.
Not until someone offends me. Uh-huh. No. I'm saying it was a continual service. She was to work in the field each day, day by day. The command of Boaz was that she be in the field, and we're to do the will of God day by day, devoted to his will and devoted to his work. And so this is a completed service day by day until the harvest was in and over. We're to know the will of God, obey the will of God, do the will of God until the work is over. And I'm conscious of this. As long as you can breathe in and breathe out, God still has something for you to do. Stay in the field. Stay put where God planted you. I'm saying we're to know the will of God, obey the will of God, do the will of God until the work is over and the work is done. I want to do his will, do you? When it comes to mission giving, I want to do the will of God. I my wife and I give faithfully to our local church. We have a commitment. All the funds that comes in through those greeting cards goes directly to missions, goes to the mission field. And that part of it is designated to get Bibles to a field where they don't have a Bible. Boy, I would be so grateful if I was on that field over yonder somewhere and didn't have a Bible, and somebody in America said, "Well, I'd like to get a Bible over there to them." And so she gives, I give, and our church gives, but our church is in trouble. My church. Because we've had an exodus of 30, and some of those were faithful givers, it has affected our mission giving. So here's what my pastor said to me. He called me the other day. And he said, he doesn't often do that, but he called me and he said, "Brother Joe, I need some input. I need some counsel." He said, "Unless there is a drastic change, we're going to have to do something about our missionaries." And he said, we're either going to have to drop some missionaries, or we're going to have to cut back missionaries. And he asked my opinion, and I said, "Brother Ledbetter, I believe if a missionary is worthy of support, that you ought to consider cutting or dropping or reducing, what I'm trying to say, reducing the monthly support level before you ever think about cutting a missionary. But I'm saying you're to be commended for your faithfulness to God. Now, I know this. I know it's not your ability. It's God's ability. And God's shovel is a whole lot bigger than yours. And so I challenge you, when you consider your faith promise, stay in the field. Stay in the will of God. Give. Keep on giving. And increase that as God the Holy Spirit tells you. Pastor's not going to tell you. I can't tell you. Someone else can't tell you. But the one who lives inside you, he can tell you to increase. And I pray that God will enable you to continue to move forward. And you can do that by this one little thought. Finding the will of God and fulfilling the will of God. Just stay in the field. Amen. Amen. I've had a preacher brethren that has died over the last 18 months. Just name after name after name after name. Some that I was very close to, some that I knew well, and some was just a brief acquaintance. But their work was completed when God took them home. But as long as we're here, the fields, the Lord Jesus said, the world is a field. Yeah. Matthew 13, the world is a field. Right. And he said to those disciples, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest field. And he said, the problem is not with the harvest, the problem is with the laborers. And so may God help us to find the will of God. Fulfill the will of God. Stay in the field.